Well, praise the Lord. The third message in this series is taken, of course, from the Acts of the Apostle, Acts 19, where we saw three distinct, shall I say, episodes in the life of the Apostle Paul at Ephesus. First of all, he was ministering in the Bible school, the school of Tyrannus. And secondly, from that Bible school, the whole of the province of Asia heard the word of God. And we've said that the purpose of a Bible school is, after all, to give character, ability, and productivity to the students who afterwards go forth proclaiming and teaching those things that they have been given. And then the last aspect of the ministry of the Apostle Paul in Ephesus in this section was that cloths were put on his body and they were taken by people and people were healed through that means. And so tonight I want to speak on the healing mission of the church. Obviously, the healing, shall I say, doctrine is quite extensive, but I'm going to be very brief tonight, because tonight we want to pray for those who are sick, and we realize that many are in that situation. Now, in the Word of God, the Lord clearly established himself as, "I am the Lord, thy healer." He did so when the children of Israel came up out of Egypt and came to, shall I say, a lake, and they were desirous of drinking from that water, but the water was bitter. And God said to Moses, "Take the tree that is over there, throw it into the water," and the water became sweet. And then he said, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." He healed the waters, and then he turned that to the thought of healing his people. And he said, "I will put none of the diseases of the Egyptians upon you as you walk in my ways." And then later on in the journey through the wilderness, the children of Israel, you know, were very disobedient, and God sent fiery serpents amongst them, and the serpents bit them, and they died. And then Moses cried out to the Lord on behalf of the children of Israel, and God said this. He said, "Make a brazen serpent, put it on your staff, and whosoever looks at that serpent on the cross," if I could say that, "shall be healed." And so we have two remarkable manifestations of the healing power of God. One healing the waters, another healing his people who just looked towards that uplifted staff in the hand of Moses. And as we look into the Word of God, we find that in the Old Testament, God healed by many different ways, but he did heal. And we have the example, of course, of Naaman. Now, Naaman was a Syrian general, and in a very real sense, Naaman was a leper, and a little girl witnessed to him, a little Israeli girl, and said, "Oh, if my master would only go to the prophet in Israel, he would be healed." Well, the life of that little girl must have been so exemplary that Naaman believed what she said. And so with his entourage having received permission from the king, he went to Elisha the prophet. And he expected, of course, that Elisha would come out of his house, call upon heaven, smite Naaman with his hand, and he would be healed. But Elisha did not do that. Elisha sent Gehazi, his servant, out and said, tell Naaman to dip 7 times in the river Jordan. Well, Naaman thought, well, that's not what I want. He was angry, and he turned to go back to Syria. His servant said, now look, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? Master, do what he says. Dip 7 times into the river Jordan. Well, Naaman overcame his anger, and he dipped 7 times in the river Jordan, and when he came out the 7th time, he was completely healed. Well, we look at other illustrations, you know, in the Word of God. Hezekiah was told by Isaiah the prophet. Now, here's a major prophet going to the king. And Hezekiah is sick. And Isaiah says to him, well, the Lord says, put your house in order, you're going to die. You know, that would shake anybody. But Hezekiah, in his bed, turned over, face the wall, and cried out to God that God might extend his life. Isaiah hadn't got out of the court of the king before God spoke to him again and said, go back to Hezekiah and say, I have given you 15 more years. And Hezekiah said, well, what sign will you give me that the Lord is going to heal me? Because Isaiah said, 3 days from now, you'll go up into the temple of God. And Isaiah said to Hezekiah, well, would you like the sun to go down 15 degrees or go back 15 degrees? And Hezekiah said, well, it's easy for the sun to go down 15 degrees. The sun has never gone down 15 degrees, but Hezekiah thought that was easy. He said, let the sun go back 15 degrees. Isaiah said, it shall be at your word. And Isaiah, of course, cried out to God, and God moved the sun 15 degrees back. And that's scientifically proven. But how was Hezekiah healed? You see, Hezekiah was told, well, God is going to add 15 years to your life, and in 3 days you're going into the temple. And Hezekiah asked for a sign. The sign, however, did not heal. And Isaiah said, put a poultice of figs on your boil and you will be healed. It's amazing, isn't it, that marvelous sign of the sun going back 15 degrees did not heal him. What healed was obedience to what God said. Now then, put a poultice of figs upon the boil, and you will be healed. You would have thought, God said, you know, Isaiah, clap your hands and he'll be healed. No, he didn't. He didn't. But Hezekiah listened to what God told him, and he obeyed him, and he was healed. Now, as we continue into the New Testament, we will find the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to make the sacrifice and give his back to the smiters. They will plow long furrows, 39 stripes, onto his back. And he's going to pay that price for our healing. For Isaiah, the prophet said in Isaiah 53, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said this, he said, by his stripes we are healed. And Peter picked it up and said, by his stripes we were healed. And so here is the Lord who indeed is paying the price, you know, for our healing. And what does he do? Well, when he sees a blind man, you know, on one occasion, he spits onto earth, makes some mud, anoints the eyes of the blind man with mud, and he said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and you'll be healed. On another occasion, another blind man, blind Bartimaeus, you know, he came to Jesus, and Jesus said, what would you wish that I would do to you? He said, that I might receive my sight. The Lord said, your faith hath healed you. He simply spoke the word. On several occasions, he spoke the word. And he spoke the word, for example, to the nobleman's daughter, and he said, you know, your daughter is healed. He sent his word to heal, and that daughter was in another town, and the nobleman went down, and servants met him and said, you know, thy daughter, you know, is well. And it was the same hour that Jesus spoke. Jesus used many methods by which, indeed, you know, he healed. At the pool of Bethesda, he said to someone, a man, of course, carefully selected, 38 years. He was a type of Israel's sin in the wilderness, and he'd been sick, infirm for 38 years. And Jesus said, pick up thy bed and walk. And he was healed. You know, those that laid the lame man, you know, opened up the roof of the house, laid the lame man, you know, sick of the palsy, at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven you. Rise up and walk. He used many different methods. And you know, talking about that fall of Bethesda, you know, it was an extraordinary thing. It was surrounded by sick people because God sent an angel at certain times to stir the water. And when the water was stirred, whoever stepped in first was healed. God heals by many methods, many methods, many methods indeed. You know, my wife had a lady friend, and a very godly woman, and, you know, she said, oh, my stomach, I'm always having trouble with my stomach. And so I think my wife's mother, I think that's right, said to her, well, why don't you ask the Lord to heal and how he wants to heal you? Well, she asked the Lord, Lord, please heal, and how are you going to do it? He said, take some apple cider vinegar, put it in water, drink it, and you'll be healed. Well, who can question the wisdom of God? You see, with the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul was in Ephesus. The sick did not, as far as we know, altogether come to him, but cloths were put on his body, and those cloths were taken off and transported perhaps many miles and laid upon the sick people, and they were healed. God has many ways of healing, but also our spirits must be right too. You know, when I was in France, they told me about a lady in the church there. Now, this lady was called Madame L'Hôpital, and her job, or the way she made her livelihood, was to take in sheets from hotels and also, indeed, I think hospitals, and she would have to wash them. Now, this is going back into the 1950s when there were no washers or dryers. And she had to wash them by hand, these large sheets. She had to take them up to her attic and put them on hangers, on lines. And she would have to wait several days, and then she would have to iron the sheets. It was hard work. One day, she said, "Oh God, give me strength to go up to my attic and take those sheets off and iron them. Please, Lord, help me. Give me strength." Well, she went up to her attic, three more floors up. She opened the door. All the sheets had been taken down, had been ironed, and they were already there. And that was a very wonderful thing, you see. But this lady had a terrible growth. I mean, it was a very protruding, cancerous growth on her cheek. And, you know, the pastor's wife said, "I want to talk to you about that growth." I said, "Oh, yes." She said, an English evangelist, George Jeffreys, came through France. And this lady went to his meeting, and she had a special appointment with him that he might pray for this growth. And he said, the pastor's wife was telling this and said, what happened was this. You know, George Jeffreys was overcome with compassion for this lady, and he just put his hand like that and moved it towards this growth. And as he did, the growth shriveled up to a pinpoint. Well, later on, that came back. And she went again to George Jeffreys, because he came again to France. And he was so concerned. He prayed again, nothing happened. And the pastor's wife said, I know why. Because that lady has a very critical spirit and criticizes and talks about so many people. She said because of that critical spirit, that sickness came back. So it is very important to realize this, that when we come to the Lord for healing, we must come with a pure heart. We must put things right in our life, so that things are indeed, you know, open for the Lord to do whatsoever he will, whatsoever he will. You know, healing is so important. It's very interesting. You know, the testimonies of two men. One is Somerset Maugham, who was a novelist, and I don't commend that you read any of his books. But when he was 18, he said this: "I want to be successful, I want to be famous, and I want to be rich." Later on in life, he was famous, he was successful, and he was rich. And he said, "You know, I have no happiness, because," he said, "I am sick in my body. He said, all those things do not help me. Being successful, being famous, being rich, do not atone for being sick in my body. Lord Beaverbrook, who was a media mogul, you know, in World War II, and absolutely controlled the press of England during World War II, which was a blessing because he aligned himself with Winston Churchill. But he said, you know, all that I have does not compensate for being sick, for being sick. You know, I had a deacon, shall I say, in my church, an evangelical church in the West. And he said, Pastor, he said, I don't know why you preach on healing. I said, you don't know? He said, no, I don't see the necessity to preach on healing. I said, may I ask you this question? Have you ever been sick in your life? He said, no. Well, I said, that's the reason you don't feel the need for me to preach healing. Well, I tell you this. I had a very strong body myself and never gone to a doctor in my life. No, I'd gone to the doctor about 50 years ago. But anyway, you know, there you are. And lo and behold, I had two experiences last year that knocked me out completely. And I had to have a medical procedure. And, you know, it seemed to go well. And then it didn't seem to have acted properly. And I was thinking, you know, I had to go to the doctor again. He said, well, I'll have to repeat it, you see. I'll have to repeat it. And Suzette navigates me through the hospitals. You know, I have not got the patience to answer all the questions of these nurses. I mean, this, and this, and this. And when they start, I say, well, here is my secretary, who is a nurse, who will answer all your questions. And she answers as a nurse to a nurse, and they're all very happy, you see. And I don't know what I would have done without Suzette. I mean, you know, I must get on with my story. But anyway, so I was facing another situation, and the doctor said, I'll have to repeat the procedure. And that was going to be on a Wednesday, and he said, you know, Monday I have to see you. Friday before, Suzette gets a demand that she takes jury duty. I said, you can't do that. You've got to look after me. And she said, well, I said, phone up, tell them you've got something more important. And she phoned up and she said, well, I've had two exemptions already. They won't give me the third one. Well, here is Monday morning, and Suzette has gone off to the jury room, and I've got to go to the doctor, you know, that afternoon, and with a medical procedure perhaps a day or two later, and Suzette is going to be tied up in jury duty. And I am feeling very sorry for myself. And I'm sitting in my chair, and then my eyes are opened, and there are seven angels who govern, you know, the fellowship here, standing before me, you know. And I said, you know, I'm not very happy with you. I said, you run the fellowship wonderfully well, but can't you do something about Elmira? You know, I said, you know, I can't carry on without Suzette in this situation. I said, surely, if you can run the fellowship, couldn't you have done something about the jury? And I said, I'm very unhappy with you. Well, at that moment, the phone rings, and it's always the same. Hi, it's me. I said, what do you mean, hi, it's you? I said, You're not supposed to have a cell phone in the jury room. Oh, she said, the judge came in, and to cut a long story short, the trials were settled out of court. I've been exempted for 4 years. I said, wonderful. I said, go to the donut shop and we'll celebrate. She said, I'm already there, and tell me what kind of donut you want. So I told her, and I was very happy. The angels are still there. I said, I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry. I am sorry. And after saying I'm sorry many times, one of them slapped me on the back and said, you're healed. Well, I didn't feel any different, but I wasn't going to argue this time. So anyway, that's what happened, you see. Now then, I had another problem, this time with my heart. Oh, these doctors. You know, I went in, I won't tell you that he came from Cuba, but he did come from Cuba. But anyway, he said, they took a test. He said you could die at any moment. I said, what? He said, of course, you're not afraid to die because you're a minister, you see. I said, what? I said, well, what do you propose? He said, I'm sending you to a cardiologist immediately. And I was with them. Fortunately, I got Susette with me, who navigates me through all these, you know, various rooms in the hospital and so forth. I get to the cardiologist, and he said, you'll have to have an examination to see what the heart is really like. And so I think it was the very next day, into the hospital I am, and lying down, and here's a doctor. And I said, which church do you go to? I'm a Muslim. I thought things couldn't get blacker. So anyway, but God got me through. He said, you're quite all right, off you go. But anyway, the cardiologist said, no, we have to put a few wires into your heart to get it going right, as it should do. I said, well, when do you propose to do that? He said, well, tomorrow would be a good idea. So anyway, there I was. Now, he said, look, two wires we can put in easily. We're accustomed to that. But he said, the third wire could hit something vital. And then he smiled with his thumbs like that, suggesting that I would be in heaven quicker than I had anticipated. I thought, and here, you know, I'm on the stretcher, you see, waiting to go into this operating room. And the Lord comes up beside me. He said, I'm intervening. And the cardiologist and his nurse were in the office. They were looking at, I presume, whatever it was, the x-ray. And they said, oh, it's good news. We only have to put two wires in. So they put me on the operating theatre. It's only a little medical procedure. And I said, you know, I'm very allergic to pain. I cannot stand pain. There's two things I cannot understand, a nurse and a needle. And he smiled at me and he said, well, just talk to me as I do this. Well, now, at that very moment, I felt two hands behind me. And it was obviously an angel, and I felt so rested. I looked, and there was an angel at my feet. He had my feet in two hands. You feel so comfortable. There was an angel standing there, supervising what the cardiologist was saying. There was another angel there, and his face was different. I knew he came from Singapore. The church had been praying there. But the point is this. You see, God could have said, I'm healing you. You don't need all that. But no, he intervened, and I had to go through that situation. My point is this. God is sovereign. You see, and God intended to save me from that third wire. He wanted to save me from the nurse with all that awful pricks, you know, needles, and he put four angels there. And I tell you this, if you have angels' hands behind your back, behind your head, you feel so comfortable. And the one, you know, holding my feet, the one supervising the operation, I fell off to sleep. And when I woke up, the first one I saw was Suzette. Are you all right, Papa? I said, yes, fine, dear. You see, but the point I'm trying to make tonight is this. You see, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. In one thing, you know, when I went to see the first doctor, he said, well, you seem to be all right. You don't need an operation, another medical procedure. He said, I'll tell the operating theater. They won't be happy. I said, let them be unhappy. And you see, God completely healed me there. But the other situation, he has not, you see. And, you know, I'm beginning to realize, you see, that God is sovereign in everything he does. Now then, I want to say this, that in the Word of God, you know, there is so many precious promises concerning healing, and we want to open our hearts for healing tonight. But maybe God, you know, we're going to have the brethren, the pastors, the senior pastors with oil to anoint you with oil, as it says in James chapter 5. But, you know, I just had testimonies of bygone conventions when people have been healed in the auditorium without being prayed for. And so you could be sitting there and God can heal you. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. God is absolutely sovereign. But I want to conclude with these few thoughts. You know, he says in Psalm 103, he forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy sicknesses. You know, God can heal every one of us. Very easy indeed. Very easy indeed. But he is sovereign as to what he wants to do tonight. He is sovereign. You know, I mean, it wasn't an angel who came up behind me when I was laying on that stretcher. It was the Lord himself. I am intervening. And so I didn't have to have that third wire, you know, and be promoted, you know. But the Lord said, I am intervening. You know, it never occurred to me. You know, I was thinking, you know, afterwards, well, why didn't the Lord just, you know, touch my heart and I was okay. But no, he has decided this other way. And I must submit to the way that God has chosen to give me strength and life. Naaman, you know, said, oh, I expected the prophet to come out and with a mighty sign heal me. And he was very unhappy. And but for his servants, he would have been a leper to his death. But he turned and went into that river Jordan. No, God, you see, is sovereign. Hezekiah watched that son go back and he expected to jump out of bed. No, God said, put a poultice of figs there. And we have to listen very carefully tonight. God, what do you want to do to me? How do you want to heal me? You know, sometimes people are prayed for and seemingly nothing happens. Seemingly nothing happens. When that angel hit me on the back, and it was hard, he hit me on the back and said, you're healed. I didn't feel a thing. It was the doctor who told me, well, you're okay. You see, you're okay. You see, and it can be that you feel nothing, and you go on your way, and suddenly you realize, Well, God has touched me. I feel so much better. You see, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. In his wisdom, he heals by many ways. But I do believe I've sort of had a vision of this coming, but of a tremendous wave of healing. And you can see it, actually, what I've seen in Psalm 103, when it says, "Thy youth shall return like an eagle." And I believe in the last days, you see, God's church, like a mighty army, there will be no sick amongst them. Everybody will have health, and the visions I've had of the last day revival, you know, if I'm still here, my face will change to the one you saw on the photo. Anyway, I never knew that existed. But anyway, the point I want to bring out is, yes, God is going to send tremendous healing to the nations. Tremendous healing, tremendous healing, tremendous healing to the nations. And we will have health, and our youth will be renewed like the eagles. But tonight, we are coming to another scripture. We're coming to the scripture in James chapter 5. And in James chapter 5, you know, the apostle says this, "If there be any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them anoint them with oil. And the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and they shall be healed." So tonight, we're going to put into practice James chapter 5 and verse 17. But why don't you open your hearts, amen, and say, "Lord, I want to be healed tonight. I want to be touched tonight. I want to be strengthened tonight. Oh, God, meet me." But, Lord, how are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? Well, we're going to encourage every one of you, you know, who are sick, to come and be anointed with oil. But to open your hearts and say, "Lord, is it the touch of oil that's going to heal me? Oh, Lord, is it when I walk away I'll be healed? Is it sometime else that I'll be healed?" You know, I've had so many, well, experiences of people being healed and so forth. And it's amazing the different ways that God uses. But we want to be open, and we want to say, and whatever you do with, don't do what I do, argue with the angels and tell them off. They were very gracious. But anyway, the thing is this, you know, we want to believe tonight for the healing stream to flow, amen, and that God will heal tonight, amen. Praise the Lord, he will heal tonight. Because he gave this message, you know, we've had message one, message two, and message three. And he is not a disappointment. Amen? All right, we're going to ask Pastor Holmes to come and the musicians to come. And we're going to worship the Lord, you know, by looking upon him as the healer. Amen? And I'd like... as Pastor Holmes comes, that the senior pastors will come, please, and you can translate to Pastor Montagna too that he comes too. All right, and we are going to believe God. You know that as we worship God, then as you feel, you come out and it doesn't matter who you choose, because it's God who heals, okay? All right, and praise the Lord. All right, pastors, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.